Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter number 40. Where we began last week, and we're going to pick up and move forward here. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 21. Have you not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. I pray that you would take me as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to not only thy people, but help me to be a blessing to you, O God. I pray that you'll keep the devil from interfering. My, how busy he is. We are so thankful that you are greater than he is and that he has already been defeated. Now, Lord, if someone in the building or someone tuning in doesn't know Christ as Savior, might that someone get saved today? We ask thy blessing on the service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Isaiah, the major prophet in the Word of God, introduces us to some great principles in God's Word in chapter number 40. His name means salvation is of Jehovah, or Jehovah is salvation. And the people of God needed to hear that. They needed to know that. They needed to be reminded of that. He looked forward, he didn't just look at the captivity that was looming and that was imminent, but he looked forward nearly a couple hundred years to Babylonian captivity, to a group of people that would be there for 70 years, that would witness some of the worst experiences they would ever encounter, but eventually would be released to go back to Jerusalem, would be delivered by Almighty God back to a land, but with no seeming hope, and no help, and absolutely no prospect of a good future. Isaiah writes to these people and reminds them that all is not lost. All is not forgotten. Listen to me. As long as there's God, there's hope. Somebody say amen. As long as there's God, there's hope. Having been exposed to false teaching, having been exposed to idolatry, having been exposed to immorality, the people of God were influenced by the heathen. I want to say to you today that people of God seem to still be influenced by the heathen. Did anybody hear what I said? I said the people of God seem to still be heavily influenced by the heathen. You say, Pastor, we're in the world. Yeah, but we're not of the world. But we're around the world. Yeah, but we're not the world. Listen to me. We have been bought with a price. I've been repeating this phrase to myself. I've been repeating this phrase to other people. I've been repeating this phrase to the devil this week. I am not my own. All right? I have been bought with a price. My body is not my own. My family is not my own. My time is not my own. My plans are not my own. I have been bought with a price, not a small price, not a cheap price. I have been redeemed with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad when there wasn't a rose red enough, there wasn't a lamb white enough, there wasn't a man good enough, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. I have been bought with a price. And so Isaiah is reminding them, don't you let these heathens, gods, make you think that they are more powerful than the one true God. And so he poses a number of questions that we brought up last week. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Have you forgotten who God is? Have you forgotten who God was? Have you forgotten who God always will be? We entitled these questions into this thought. Oh, you didn't know? You have forgotten who God is? I could say to you, I talk to Christians all the time, and it seems like all that they talk about are the problems and the difficulties and the predicaments and the crises. And by the way, how many of you would signify by an uplifted hand? All of those are real, all right? Our problems are real. Our burdens are real. Our struggles are real. Our trials are real. Our difficulties are real. Our crises are real. By the way, this pandemic is real. Our unrest is real. Racism is real. Sin is real. The devil is real. But wait a minute now. God is real too. I mean, God is real. And by the way, before any of that stuff was real, God was real. He always has been, and he always will be. Oh, you didn't know? Have you forgotten who God is? Are your decisions today being made as if God does not exist? Are your decisions being made today as if your problems are bigger than God? I've come to remind you that the God of the Bible is the God of 2020, that the God of the mountaintop is the God in the valley, that the God when the sun is shining is the God when it's raining, that the God when you're rich is the God when you're broke, that the God when you well is the God when you're sick, that the God when you feel good is the God when you're hurting, that the God when you understand is the God when you don't know, that the God when you have an answer is the God when you can't fill in the blank, that the God when you're crowded is the God when you're lonely, that the God when you're going through struggles is the same God that he was when you had no struggles. If he ever was, he still is. Now we forget that. Come on, we've been so focused on our problems that we've forgotten who God is. Today, let me give you one thought out of Isaiah 40 about God. If you're taking notes, his exalted position. Say amen so it's not so much silence when I drink the water. His exalted position. Silence is awkward, all right? So y'all just keep making, if it ever gets real, real silent around here, somebody make some noise, amen. His exalted position. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? And before Isaiah is even going to give them a chance to answer, he's going to answer it. Aren't you glad that the Bible not only asks questions, but it answers them? Amen. And by the way, there are a lot of people asking questions right now. I'm glad that God answers questions. Amen. How many of you have got some questions in your life right now that you can't? Aren't you glad that God answers questions? Now, he has an exalted position. Look at verse 22. Look at the language of the Bible. It is he. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is he. Amen. It is he. Watch this now. It's important that when we speak about this he, that we recognize that God is the only he about this, which this information applies. By the way, when it says he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, watch this now. He is a God with an exalted position of supreme government. Watch this now. He's the one that sits on the circle of the earth. I know what somebody's thinking. We're struggling right now because there are a lot of powers that be that scare us. They intimidate us. We don't know what people that are ruling the world all over the globe will do. We don't know what kind of attacks they'll make on our country. We don't know what kind of decisions they'll make about our freedoms. And people get nervous. They get nervous about who sits on the throne in a country, who sits on the throne in an office, who sits in leadership in Congress, who sits in the Oval Office. But I will tell you something. Isaiah said, let's not look at them little thrones and those little pedestals. Let's look at he who sits upon the circle of the earth. He has an above setting. Listen to me. Above the kings, above the princes, above the prime ministers, above the senators, above the Congress, above all the Supreme Court justices. There's somebody that sits above that. I want to tell you why I know everything's going to be all right. Because God is still on top. Because God is still in control. He has an above setting. He has an awesome status. Notice the Bible says, the inhabitants of thereof are as grasshoppers. Now watch this now. His status is so big that everything else looks so small. Now here's the problem with us as Christians. We have been enamored by the bigness of human things, psychological things, technological things. We look at the power in the world and we go, ooh. We look at sports. We look at Sports Center. We look at athletes. We look at millionaires. We look at money. We look at fame and fortune and we go, wow, that person is big. But Isaiah said, when you look at God and you look at them, what looks big here when it's compared to them, compared to him, looks like grasshoppers, like locusts, like nomads that are scattered abroad. Let me tell you something. When God flexes his muscles, nobody matches against him. He has an above setting. He has an awesome status. He has an almighty sovereignty. Notice what the scripture says. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. He spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. What an awesome sovereignty he has. That he makes the heavens, the atmosphere, two things. A safe heaven for us and a splendid habitation for himself. Now don't miss this. Tradition tells us that in some of the Asian countries, the flat surface in the middle of their homes was called a court, around which their rooms were built. So they had this common area that was in the middle, and they built their rooms around it. Over top of that common area, they would stretch out a curtain. That curtain would be a place where they could be, where they could hang out, where they could kill some time, and that curtain would stretch out over that common area to protect them from the elements, to keep them warm, to keep those things that would harm them from destroying them. They would stretch out that curtain, and it would be a place where they could have a safe haven. Listen what Isaiah said. The God that we serve has taken the firmament, the clouds, and the sky, and he stretched it out like a veil and like a curtain. And he's given us a safe haven. I know this world is not a nice place all the time. I know that we face circumstances and situations that are not very easy to deal with. But I want to tell you that God has stretched out the firmament like a safe haven. You're going to be okay, child. You're going to make it. Get up tomorrow morning with a smile on your face to know God's going to work out your problems. He's going to figure it out for you, because the heavens are a safe haven for us, but they're a splendid habitation for him. He's not only made them a stretch out for us to dwell under, but he's made it a tent, if you would, for him to dwell in. Above what everybody else is doing in politics, is doing with power, and is doing with position, God says, up in the heavens, that's where I dwell. And by the way, he sits high, but he looks low. Your problem matters to God. Your burdens matter to God. Your situations matter to God. Your struggles matter to God. And although he's way up there, I'm glad he can see way down here. He says God has a supreme government. God has a superior greatness. Look at verse number 23. He bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. That means he has a defeating conquest and he has depleted competitors. Watch this now. He bringeth the princes to nothing. Please listen to me. There's no power in your life that God cannot conquer. There is nobody in your life that God cannot bring down. There is no difficulty in your life that God cannot handle. Don't look at that mountain and act like it's bigger than God. Don't look at a situation in front of you and act like it's stronger than God. God bringeth princes to naught, and God maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. You know what that means? There is nobody that can compete against Almighty God. Now let me tell you something. You sit around long enough and you let your mind start thinking long enough. Listen to me. I said to somebody recently, and I've said it to myself, the biggest battle that we are fighting in this pandemic is the battle inside of our minds. Because the devil wants us to think that the things are piling up against us and the situations are heavier than us and stronger than us and more difficult than us. By the way, that's why even as I've been limited physically, I'm determined not to just sit around and do nothing. I tell my wife, let me go to the store. Let me cook something. Let me do something around here. Because the devil wants you to sit on the bed and look up everything that's wrong and watch everything that's bad and think about every prospect and think about what could happen and what might happen and what possibly had happened. And all of a sudden you start getting worried about the stuff that's going on, the stuff that hadn't happened, the stuff you think might happen, the stuff that they say is happening, and the conspiracies that you don't know are happening. And I'm here to tell you, you've got to fill your mind, the reins of your brains, with something that's not based on conspiracy, not based on opinion, not based on paradigm, not based on political correctness or status quo. You got to remind yourself that nobody compares to God, that nobody competes with God, that nobody's greater than God. I'm telling you, God is bigger than coronavirus. God is bigger than difficulty. God is bigger than your financial burden. God is bigger than your physical calamity. God is bigger than your marital issue. God is bigger than your rebellious child. You didn't know he was God, and he's still God. The superior greatness of God, the supreme government of God, and the sovereign glory of God. They shall not be planted. Look at God. Look at God agreeing with himself before he says it. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, their stock should not take root. They have limited advancement, and they have looming annihilation. They shall not be planted. Come on now. I'm telling you, the problem that you have right now, it's not going to be planted. It's coming, but it ain't going to take root. So stop living like now is going to last forever. One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is this phrase, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. Come on now. You got to tell that trial you're here, but you ain't staying. Tell that trial don't take your shoes off. Tell that trial I'm not going to make you a key. Tell that trial I'm not going to invite you in. Listen to me. God never designed for us to be problem free. The Son of God walked on earth and he wasn't problem free. Amen. But we should not be problem dominated. Amen. It shall not be sown. It shall not be planted. It shall not take root. Look what God's going to do. He's going to blow upon them. Amen. Amen. We're talking about everybody that's in control right now. Listen to me. God's going to blow up. Listen, when the dust settles, there's going to be one person in control. Amen. When the dust, listen, if who you want to be in charge doesn't stay in charge, let me tell you something. Just remind yourself, one day God's going to blow upon it. Amen. And listen, there's coming a day there's only going to be one power, one person sitting on the throne. And I guarantee you, everybody's going to vote for him. Come on now. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. There's going to be one candidate on the ballot. Amen. There's going to be one king on the throne. There's going to be one judge making decisions. There's going to be one power that's in charge. Amen. He's not going to need a majority vote. He's not going to need a confirmation. He's not going to need to sit down in front of anybody. And by the way, he's not going to need it then, and he doesn't need it now. I have to remind myself, God's in charge now. We keep looking for, I can't wait till the day when Jesus is, listen, he's on the throne now. He's letting the devil think he's in control. He's letting the world think they're in control, but they are not in control. Listen to me. Somebody's got to face this week and determine God is in control. You didn't know. And by the way, sometimes we are so big at reminding everybody else of what they forgot. This week, remind your own self. I have not spent more time talking sense into anybody here recently than I have myself. People say, well, you know, would you keep me accountable? I just like you to keep me accountable. I said, how am I going to keep you accountable if you lie? Did you drink today? No, I ain't drunk while you said it. Well, I can't keep you accountable if you lie. Listen, the only person going to do a good job of keeping you accountable is you, because you the only person with you all the time. You're going to have to talk to yourself this week. And we're guilty. Come on now. How many of us are good at talking lies to ourselves? I done looked up everything on the internet, and that can be bad. Because the internet will tell you you're dead, and you've been believing it and not realizing you can't be dead if you're looking at it telling you you're dead. then you already, whatever you're looking up gets worse because of what you looked up. My chest start hurting. I look up why my chest is hurting, and it tells me why my chest start hurting. My chest start hurting where? I'm not telling you it's wrong to look up. I'm just telling you, make sure you look up the right stuff. Next time you're trying to look up something in your Bible. Look up Isaiah 40. Amen. Hast thou not seen? Hast thou not heard? I'm troubled. I'm troubled by what's going on in our world. But not as much troubled as I am as how many Christian people act like they've lost their mind. We expect the world to be crazy. What has happened to the people of God? Not only have they lost their mind, but they've lost any sense about concealing the fact they've lost their mind. It's bad enough to lose your mind. It's worse to broadcast it so everybody knows you lost your mind. I've lost a number of things over the last several months. Some weight, some memories, some strength. But I ain't lost my mind. Thank the Lord. Say, Pastor, you sound crazy. Yeah, I was crazy 7 months ago. So I haven't lost anything. I've had some of the best times with God early in the morning that I've ever had. With him reminding me, I'm in charge. And then for the rest of the day, with me reminding me, he's in charge. Oh, you didn't know? Well, you better ask somebody. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise your name. Continue to help us be who we ought to be for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it, but I need to be reminded. I need to remind myself that God is in control. God has spoken to me through the message today. If that's you, would you put your hand up wherever you are in the building? God spoke to me all over the room. Raise your hand. God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God bless you. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? We're right where you are. Would you pray and ask God to keep your mind right? Because listen to me. If you let your mind slip, then you're going to start making decisions based on a mind that is full of misinformation. Keep filling your mind. Set your affections on things. Keep filling your mind with truth. Truth endures. May God help. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Help us to continue to live according to it. We love you and we so thank you for being such an awesome God. In Jesus' name.